A few years ago, I had a wedding in Connecticut, and I was speaking to the groom beforehand, and I asked him, what is going to be your secret for a holy and successful marriage? The groom smiled at me confidently and said, well, the day after our wedding, I'm going to take my wife to Ireland for our honeymoon. Then, in 60 years, I'm going to go back to pick her up. Now, this is obviously a joke. I would not have witnessed their marriage if it wasn't. Yet, the question that was ultimately asked, what is the secret to a holy and successful marriage? That question is important for us to reflect on this morning. So in the gospel, we see that humanity has come a long way from the establishment of marriage that we heard about in the first reading. Our Lord, therefore, clarifies marriage's purpose in order to renew it. Now, in his ministry up until this point, Christ must have already spoken publicly on his views of marriage, because the Pharisees clearly already knew what his position was, right? That it was permanent and unbreakable. The Pharisees therefore wanted him to openly declare that his view went against the law of Moses, which did allow for divorce and remarriage. You see, they were trying to set him up. Yet, our Lord explains that divorce and remarriage were not of the intention of God when he instituted it at the beginning, and that Moses only allowed it because of man's fallen nature. Now, being human and knowing how difficult marriages could be at times, this teaching of Christ on the sacredness of marriage clearly troubled the disciples, as I'm sure it can trouble many people today. Yet, despite their doubts, Christ reaffirms himself. When a man and woman enter into a true marriage, they enter into a sacred covenant that they themselves cannot break until death. Right? It is indissoluble. Yet, our Lord knew the difficulties of a husband and wife to be able to remain faithful to each other. But he never asked the people to do the impossible. Therefore, with the establishment of his church, he elevated marriage to that of a sacrament, which means that when a baptized man and woman marry, they receive grace, supernatural help, to help them live the marriage as God intended. Remember, sacraments give us grace. A husband and wife would consequently then not be alone. God would be there to assist them and help them lead each other to heaven, provided they were willing to receive our Lord's help. And that's why the church stresses the need for a sacramental marriage, because of the grace it provides for the couple. Now, in today's passage, after explaining about the permanence and indissolubility of marriage, notice that our Lord stresses another aspect of the sacrament, children. Most fittingly, children were being brought forward to him to bless, despite his disciples' protests. So it seems that our Lord's teaching on marriage had so moved the people that they wanted to bring children forward for him to bless. As we know, children are so connected to marriage itself that to separate them from it would be to go against the design of God. Marriage was to be centered on the union of the spouses and the procreation and upbringing of the children. That's why one of the reasons why the church teaches that artificial contraception is not acceptable in a marriage, right? It takes the potentiality of children out of the picture. Now, just as I mentioned, spouses have the responsibility of getting each other to heaven, they also have the responsibility of trying to get their children to heaven as well. For those who know me, I love Archbishop Fulton Sheen, right? One of the great spiritual writers of the 20th century. And he once said, that on our judgment days, we're going to be asked two questions. Where is your spouse? And where are your children? And Almighty God does not mean their physical location. He knows that. He means, did we do our best to get them to heaven? Now, having said that, I don't know about you, but I've never encountered a perfect marriage. And I've never encountered a perfect family either. Yet by elevating the institution of marriage to a sacrament, Christ is promising that he would be with every couple to help them. Therefore, by his refusal to compromise on his original intention of marriage, the lifelong union of a man and woman, and the procreation of children from that union, Christ was telling us that no matter how imperfect the situation would be, marriage, the way that God desired it to be, is worth it and worth fighting for. Yet despite marriage being a sacrament, we see so many families struggling to survive. Spouses who are distant from each other. And children who are greatly affected by the breakdown of their families. These situations are always so incredibly painful. And I cannot imagine the pain that many people go through. You know, sometimes the responsibility of the breakdown of the marriage has been so buried with time that things just aren't clear anymore. Who was in the right, who was in the wrong, etc. For broken marriages, the church has always taught that the person would first have to have their marriage deemed null through an annulment before he or she could seek to marry again. Now, very important, an annulment is not a Catholic divorce, but a formal recognition that a sacramental marriage never existed to begin with. And the annulment process in our modern day is usually an opportunity for great healing in the lives of those involved. Now, as your priest, it's my duty to strive to rectify any marriage situations that are irregular in my parish. I want to make sure that everyone here is able to receive Holy Communion worthily. Right? So don't hesitate to reach out to me privately with any concerns. So, what are we to do in these situations, though? Especially when they're very painful. Further, if Christ is clearly present in thriving marriages, is he even present in those that are truly struggling or that have been torn apart? The answer is, of course, yes. Even in imperfect situations or imperfect marriages, we should still seek Christ's help. As God incarnate, Christ was clear on what marriage was and what it was not. But that didn't mean that he was not going to be present and continue to bestow his grace on those imperfect marriages that were struggling, or even when things fell apart. And so, to all those who may be struggling in a marriage right now, whether you are a husband or the wife, divorced or remarried, you must always remember that Christ wants to be there for you in your struggle and encourage you to lead a life worthy of your role as husband or wife, to lead you to unity and ultimately salvation. So in the toughest moments of your marriage, remember, if you ask for his help, he will send you the grace of the sacrament as he promised. Don't be afraid to seek our spiritual help, the priests as well. Now, to those who have been affected by a bad marriage, we must always trust that our Lord will never abandon us and will help us to heal our wounds so we can praise God in prayer without a heavy heart. He will send his grace to us to be with us in our most loneliest or painful moments. Our God is a merciful God and will forgive us of any personal failings when we run to him for mercy in the sacrament of confession. He is a loving father, and his love can make up for the lack of authentic love from a parent or a spouse. The sacrament of holy matrimony, however, when lived out as intended by God, leads to reasonable happiness in this life and salvation in the next. Just ask any married couple who is striving for holiness. Sure, there's going to be ups and downs, yet the happiness and joy from a holy marriage, as our loving God intended it, is irreplaceable. And that's where marriage can become the perfect means of evangelization. In the context of a holy marriage, children learn about God first from their mother and father. They should learn about the truths of our faith first from their parents. And it's in the home that their Catholic faith should be nurtured. Now, today, in the life of the church in the United States, we celebrate Respect Life Sunday. When we look around our society, we see that life is actually not being respected. We see the dignity of human life disregarded. Abuse is frequently found in our families. Unborn children are killed through abortion. And elderly people are encouraged and assisted to take their own lives. So how do we as the church respond? Well, we respond in many ways. But I think the most fundamental way is by having our marriage and family lives centered around Christ and striving to follow His will. Married people must believe in the power of the sacrament to make them holy. They must believe in their vocation to witness through their marriage to the power of Christ's love. Prayer has to be the center of our households. If we do that, our children will grow up in a healthy environment where the faith is present even beyond Sunday at our church. Our families will be champions of life. An abortion and a contraceptive mentality will not be present because if God is truly at the center of the marriage, children are always seen to be a gift. The secret to a happy and holy marriage is to have our marriage, no matter how imperfect it is, to be rooted in Christ and His teachings. Marriage, as God created to be, is worth it and worth fighting for. God is there to help us. His grace is sufficient.